Come on. Why don't we give Jesus a big hand clap? Woo. I love coming here to COP Austin because you guys love the Holy Ghost. And, you know, we got this saying at my church. I go to a church called H Rock Church in Pasadena, California. My wife and I are part of the apostolic team there with Cheon. And we got this saying, you know, some people say that the Holy Spirit's the icing on the cake, but we say the Holy Spirit is the cake. I mean, I'm telling you, I just love the glory. Woo! I want to just give some free stuff away. Who likes free stuff? Awesome. So who wants to burn? I got a teaching called The Fire of God's Love. And, it's just on fire. Yeah. Here, man, I'll hook you up. No, really what it's about a love revolution and how God wants to change the way the world thinks about him. Because how many know that most of the time when people hear about fire, they're like, man, I got to get out of here. Because they think, you know, fire is like the flames of hell. And for like all these years, people have tried to preach the gospel out of a place of, you know, scaring people into the kingdom instead of allowing the Holy Spirit's power to flow through them and to reveal the love of God. How many know God wants to change that, right? I mean, he wants people to understand that the fire of God is not judgment, but it's love. And because it's love, there's you know, available to us through the Father, the realm of signs and wonders and miracles and power. And so that's what that teaching set's all about. It's all about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Years ago, maybe you've heard me preach this message, but years ago I had an angel appear to me and hand me a torch. And it was a massive torch of fire. It had a scripture written on it. And Romans 8:11, it says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and quickens our mortal bodies. And I don't know about you, but who wants a Holy Ghost quickening, right? And so anyway, I believe that the key, though, is to receive the fire of God, because the fire of God will remove everything that would hinder us from fullness. And so that's what that set is about. I got a book here. It's called Manifesting God's Love Through Signs, Wonders, and Miracles, Discovering the Keys of the Kingdom. And this is all about Isaiah 22:22. It says that the key of the house of David, God will lay upon his shoulder. And what he opens, no man will be able to shut. And no thing that he closes will be opened. And my favorite part about Isaiah 22:22, though, is Isaiah 22:23. And a lot of people skip over that. And you know what it says there? It says that he, talking about Jesus, will become a peg and a glorious throne in Father's house. And I want to just say this. How many know that when you go into your, a lot of people, when they go into their home, they have like a peg that they can put their keys on so they don't lose them, right? Well, I want you to hear this. Did you know Jesus lives on the inside of you? He lives on the inside of me. And so he has become the peg that the keys of the kingdom rests upon. So that means that we have access every day to grab those keys and to use those keys and to begin to decree for things to open up and for things to close. And because he's become a glorious throne in his Father's house and he lives on the inside of you, there's authority that you can move in. And so that's what this book's about. It's about the authority of God. We talk about all kinds of crazy signs and wonders. And Bobby Connor, one of our spiritual papas, we did a chapter together, kind of like an Elijah deal. And you're going to get this. Come on. There you go. You can have that. Find me. You know what? Afterwards, find me. I'll sign it for you at the book table. There's one last thing I want to share or show you. I'm not going to give this away because my wife won't let me, but that's okay. My wife is designing clothes now. And if you guys know anything about my wife, Miranda, she ministers, she preaches, but she's also a professional model and does runway shows and you know, magazines and all kinds of stuff. And what's amazing is everywhere she goes, people get saved, they get healed, they get delivered. I mean, she prophesies over them. But she started a clothing line called Admired X, and it's a clothing line that is really to raise awareness for human trafficking and to bring funds in to bring girls out of human trafficking and to establish safe homes. And there's some organizations that we're working with. And also some of it's going to Project Orphans, which is a spiritual dot of ours that, I don't know if you remember, Bill, but years ago we brought this little short girl named Brittany with us, and she was one of our interns. Well, she's got one of the biggest orphan movements in the earth right now. And it's just amazing because I think Sean might have prophesied to her here at COP that she would do a huge thing with orphans. But they got homes in Guatemala, they got homes in South America, they got them in Africa, I mean, all over the place. And so a lot of the proceeds from the clothing go to that. But I'll just hold one up to show you. This is Miranda drew this, and it's the line of the tribe of Judah, but it says fearless. And I believe there's a fearless generation that's rising. Amen? Anyway, I had to put the plug in. She was like, babe, please, could you tell them about it? You know, anything for you. How many know happy wife, happy life? Amen? Yeah, I have this one, but I'm going to talk on this morning, so I won't need to explain it. It's a three-part series on angels. And so anyway, it's called Angels Among Us, and you're going to find out why, because I felt the Lord tell me this morning to share about the angelic realm. And one of the reasons why is because when we were here on Friday night, I was really getting a lot of stuff in the spirit where I was in... Yeah, you can have that. Here. Nice catch. Yeah, when we were here on Friday night, I was getting a lot of stuff where I kept seeing this huge portal open up, and I kept seeing all of these angels ascending and descending, and they were kind of on this ladder, and they're coming down. It reminded me of what you read about with Jacob and the ladder. But, you know, it's funny. I got up, and I thought I was going to preach on that night, but then it went a whole other direction. And that's how prophetic ministry works, you know. I mean, most prophetic ministers think they got the word of the Lord three or four times before they get the real word of the Lord, okay? At least that's how it works with me. And so anyway, I've been asking the Lord, like, what's the deal with that portal? Why did you show it to me? Because I don't believe God shows us things flippantly. I believe He shows us things with purpose. And one of the things that I really believe is that I really believe that as you are a cathedral of praise, one of the things that will happen is that the angels of heaven will be attracted to that praise, and that the glory of God begins to manifest. But not only does it manifest in this place, but it begins to go out. It begins to go out like it covers an atmosphere. I'm reminded of stories like, you know, Mariah Woodworth Etter. She would set up camp in a city. I read out of her Signs and Wonders book how she went to Chicago, Illinois, and she camped there and she rented a tent. And you know what's crazy is that she had like seven people that came, you know, for the first night. And in fact, it was on one of the worst streets that there was, and all these thugs and all these you know, gang people would come, and they would actually throw rocks into the tent mocking her. And what would happen is she would just start to preach anyway, and when she began to pray, she began to say, Lord, let your glory come. All of a sudden, something would hit that city where in a 50-mile radius, the glory of God would come. And people all over the place, the same people that were throwing rocks into the meeting, would begin to fall out in trances. They would begin to fall out, and they would begin to have encounters, and the angels of heaven began to move throughout the whole 50-mile radius to where people would have visions of the venue that she was preaching at, or they would have visions of heaven, visions of hell, and when they would get up off the ground, they would have such an urgency to get saved that in literally a matter of 1 to 2 days, she had the whole tent packed out with thousands of people, and they were there to hear the message of Jesus. Amen? And I felt in my spirit that when I was seeing this portal and I see these angels come down and going up and I saw them going out, that God was going to do something special in this region with the angelic realm. But it has to do with worship and it has to do with praise, because when you worship and when you praise in spirit and in truth, it releases an atmosphere of glory. And sometimes as Christians, you know, we think at times, you know, it's like, you know, it's all about me, me, me. It's all about me, 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 you know, and we don't realize that, yes, God wants to bless you, but God wants to change your city. God wants to change your region. And so many times, you know, it's like, man, we get whacked and we feel so good. And I love it. I love getting whacked. But here's the thing. God wants to whack them out there too, right? And I believe that what you guys are contending here for, Papa Bill and Sue, is an atmospheric release of glory that doesn't just affect your church, but it affects the entire city of Austin, and even goes out, and even that there's a regional pool and even a statewide pool of glory, and where when people come into the atmosphere of what He's releasing, it changes their lives. Oh, come on, how awesome will that be if you begin to cultivate an anointing, not just for a church, but a city, right? See, I believe that's the calling of God on this church, is to cultivate an anointing that an entire city... It's like in the book of Acts. How many know Philip went out and he preached in Samaria? And you know what the Bible says? It says that the entire city had joy. It didn't just say that one or two people had joy. It said that Samaria experienced great joy. And the entire city had joy. Why? Because he cast out demons. He healed the sick. He prayed for the cripples. They got up out of there. In fact, he stoked such a revival that they couldn't, you know, he couldn't even handle it. He had to call the apostles in and was like, hey, I accidentally blew this place up. Can you come help? You know, And I feel like that's the DNA on this church. You know, I feel like you young people, all of you young people that are here, and even the ones that have been here for a long time, I mean, I don't want to put it in a box, but this is the time for the Phillips to go out and to begin to take the land and to begin to start revival fires everywhere they go, whether it's a coffee shop, whether it's a, you know, whatever, bar, restaurant. I mean, just go and release the glory. And I feel the Lord's going to stir some things up in this region. And I want to just say this. I've had many encounters even this year where earlier this year I had a visitation when I was just praying in my living room. And as I was worshiping, I had an angelic visitation, and this angel came into the room. And when the angel came into the room, I mean, it totally shocked me a little bit. And I want to say this is the first thing that we need to understand about the angelic realm is that they're fellow servants with you in the kingdom. I mean, we'd be really stupid to worship an angel, right? Or we'd be really stupid to only focus on angels and that's it. But how many know we'd be really stupid not to ask God to help us by sending them or to ignore them altogether, right? And you know, John, he was in Revelation 19:10. He had an encounter with this angel and he fell down at the angel's feet and he began to worship. And the angel looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Worship God." He said, "I'm a fellow servant with you in the kingdom." See, I want to say this, is that I don't know about you, but I want the fullness of what God wants to release to me in the realm of heaven's help. I mean, I could take all that I can get, because here's why. God wants to totally give us, another dimension of authority and power and glory. And some of it goes beyond just the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to say this. The gifts of the Spirit are beautiful and amazing. And I want them, and I'm developing them in my life. And the gifts of the Spirit, they train you to be more like Jesus. And they reveal the glory of God and the love of God to people. But I want to see a greater dimension of freedom, to the point where when you pray for people with addictions, they're instantly healed. Or to the point where there's missing limbs, they begin to grow out. And I mean, we've been starting to see this realm. I mean, I was in Korea. We were ministering, and people that had chopped their fingers off and had no more fingers, when we began to release the glory of God, the angels started to move, and they grew the fingers back right there on their hands. I mean, we've been seeing creative miracles. A guy that chopped his thumb off and with a chainsaw accident or whatever, and we prayed for him, and when we prayed for him, nothing happened on the spot. But you know what? When he went home, it started to grow, and within a month and a half, I don't know why God chose a month and a half, it grew all the way back out with a nail and everything. I mean... I mean, we're in an amazing season of power and authority, but I believe that some of it's going to come when the angels of heaven move and there's breakthrough released, and it's kind of like Daniel. I remember Daniel was crying out to God. He recognized the times and the seasons of God, and he recognized that Israel was poised for another move of the Spirit because of prophecy, right? Well, did you know there's like 101 or probably even 1,001 prophecies about Austin, Texas? About revival, about breakthrough, about reformation, about transformation, about, you know, the glory of God. I mean, I'm sure every great preacher and every great prophet and every great apostle and teacher and pastor and whoever has been through this city, every time they come, they give a new word, you know, and they give a new destiny and they give a new understanding according to the Spirit of what God wants to do. Well, how many know we got to grab a hold of that stuff and be like Daniel and begin to contend, right? So Daniel starts recognizing the times and the seasons. And when he recognizes the times and the seasons, he sets his heart towards the Father like Flint. He starts to fast and pray. He starts to go into a Daniel fast, which is, by the way, my wife's regular lifestyle. It makes me laugh. You know, she's vegan, and I tell everybody, I'm vegan, right? That's the real reason why I like to come to Texas, because you guys got the best vegan food on the planet. So anyway, Daniel starts to set his heart like Flint towards the Lord. He starts to pray. And what happens? All of a sudden, after 21 days, the angel Gabriel comes and brings the answer to what he needed as far as breakthrough goes and the understanding that he was pressing in for. And here's what's amazing is the angel Gabriel tells him this. He says, the minute that your prayers went off of your lips, the Father in heaven heard it, but the prince of Persia stood in the spirit to resist me from coming. And so he said he had to release, Michael, the archangel, to begin to war, and when Michael took care of the prince of Persia, then there was a release of the answer from heaven. And I want to say this this morning to you, that I believe this morning God is going to break the resistance of warfare that many of you have been going through, and that there has been these promises and these things that God has spoken to you about, and you've been decreeing them, you've been prophesying them, you've been speaking them forward, and you've been in a season of contention. But here's what the Lord's going to do. He's going to release the warrior angels and break the through is in this place this morning. I really believe that. And I mean, we just got to understand, though, I believe that God wants to teach us about this realm, because we're always praying these crazy prayers like, Lord, let heaven invade earth, you know, and we're always like asking God for the kingdom to come. And if you were to go to heaven right now, Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, you could see a description of the throne room, and there's some stuff going on up there. Woo! I mean, I love it. I love that those two chapters are like some of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I read them over and over and over again. I meditate on them all the time. And a lot of times I'll have encounters because I meditate on the Word. And some people, you know, you want to know how to get visitations? Meditate on the Word. The Word of God will illuminate the things of the Spirit and cause you to go into encounters. And I believe that it's the Word and the Spirit that we're after in the season that will unlock things in the Spirit. And I mean, I'm telling you, there's such a glory right now available to the church. Woo! And it's a glory that's more than just corporate. It's a glory that's individual. It's going to rest upon people's lives. And you know what it's going to be like? It's going to be just like Jesus talked about. How many remember when he prophesied over Nathanael? When he saw him, he said, hey, there's an Israelite without guile, right? And so Nathanael says to him, well, how do you know me, Lord? And he says, well, I saw you under the fig tree. And basically gets a word of knowledge, I believe, about where Nathanael would pray with God and be alone. And it rocked Nathanael so much that he just shouted out and goes, he really is the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. And Jesus says this. He says, you believe because I gave you one word of knowledge? He said, you're going to see greater things than this. You're going to see heaven open, and you're going to see the angels of heaven ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And he prophesies to him about the salvation that you and I have, because when we receive Jesus into our hearts, we get saved, we have eternal life, but all of a sudden we carry an open heaven everywhere that we go. And everywhere that we go, there is a ladder between heaven and earth. And not only do we have the testimony of Jacob, but we become Jacob. And that's why it says that in the book of Psalms, it talks about Jacob's generation who will seek the face of God. Right? And I want to just say this, is that everywhere you go, heaven goes. I don't care how dark this city is. I don't care how dark the region is. I don't care how much of what is going on. Wherever you go, there is a realm of an open heaven that goes, because he's alive on the inside of you. And here's what's happening. The angels ascending and descending upon who? The Son of Man, who's inside of you. So that means wherever you go, you stir up the atmosphere. Woo, Jesus. And see, he wants to teach us these things, and he wants us to understand that heaven is always at work. I mean, I'm telling you, heaven is always at work. It'll mess you up. Sometimes we think like, man, God's not doing anything. He's always doing something. I've had the weirdest things. I remember when I first got saved and I was starting out in my ministry, and I was preaching to like 5 grandmas and 3, you know, little kids, and I was in house churches, and that was my deal, man. That was my jam. I loved it. I was like, I don't care. I'm in ministry. And I was preaching, and one day I got an invitation to go to this other city. I was living in Colorado at the time, and to go to the city 45 minutes away from where I lived, and I got invited to go there. And so anyway, I was so excited, and my parents had to drive me. It was pretty funny, but I was like, road trip, you know? And so we went, and there was like 42 people in this church. It was a house church. But I was like, this is amazing, you know. And so we get in the car, we drive over there. And by the way, you want to know how you come before thousands? You be faithful with the little. And so we drive, and we go to the house church, and the pastor says to me, hey, I want to take you out to get a steak before the meeting. And I'm like, come on, we're moving on up. Last week, Wendy's, this week, steak, you know. And so we get there, and he starts talking to me, and he says, you know, we're really excited for you to come, because our elder, he had that encounter with you on the airplane, you know, 2 weeks ago. And I said, what? He said, yeah, you were on the airplane with the man, and, you know, you told him your whole testimony about how you gave up baseball to serve Jesus, and, you know, you were wearing your Boston Red Sox hat, and you had that red sweatshirt on, and it was so weird, because here was the problem. I hadn't been on a plane in 6 months. And this guy starts telling me my testimony and like telling me everything that I said to this guy. And you know, he's like, this is the reason why we invited you. And I thought to myself, do I tell him or do I not tell him? And I just thought, you know what, man, this is weird, because I've not been in an airplane. And then he went silent. And he went, really? And I said, yeah. And you know, I it was such a weird experience. And so anyway, you know, I didn't quite understand it, but I said to the Lord, Lord, what is this? And this is what he told me. He said, Jeremy, it's Acts chapter 12, verse 15. And when I went there, I realized that the supernatural was so much more natural in the early church than it is in our time of day. See, we make it so spooky and mystical at times that we miss what he's doing because he's just doing normal things. And, you know, in the early church, remember when Peter got thrown into prison and they were going to kill him? And it was the only day that the religious spirit benefited the church. You want to know why? Because they couldn't kill him on the Sabbath. So it gave the church time to pray. And so he's in this maximum security. You want to know what maximum security was back then? It was two huge dudes next to you, pretty much chained to you, and two guys outside the cell. You're not going anywhere, right? Well, an angel appears to him in Acts chapter 12 because the church is at this house of Mary, and they're praying for him to get released. And the angel shows up, and he strikes Peter on the side. The chains fall off. He gets up. He puts his sandals on, walks through the front door, even the midst of these guards, and he walks out the front gate. And as he walks out the front gate, the Bible says he thought it was a vision. But when he gets outside, all of a sudden he realizes, whoa, this is not a vision. Like, I'm free. And so what does he do? He runs to Mary's house because he's freaked out, and he's like, man, God just set me free, and I got to get out of here. And we all know the story, right? He goes and he knocks on the door, and a servant girl named Rhoda answers the door, right? And when she answers the door, she gets so excited that it's Peter that she slams the door on his face. I mean, how would you like to be Peter, right? You're like, people, they're trying to kill me. Let me in this house. And she runs back, and this is the craziest, this is one of the most baffling, mind-boggling scriptures in the Bible, if you read it, because she runs to the people and she goes, God did it. I'm paraphrasing, but she said, God did it. He released Peter from prison. In Acts chapter 12, verse 15, they say, no, you're beside yourself. It's not Peter, it's just his angel. Wait a minute, what? That's a weird saying right there. What do you mean you're beside yourself? It's Peter's angel. So what you're saying to me is that you got more faith that God sent Peter's angel outside the door than he really answered your prayer? I mean, that's just strange, but it also tells you something about that culture and that day. It means that the supernatural must have been natural and that they must have been used to having angelic encounters. And it also tells us this, that sometimes I believe our angel can take our appearance. And now all of a sudden I begin to understand what was going on with this guy in the city that had an encounter with my angel. And I told him, I said, you better have listened to everything that guy prophesied to you. You know, because they were telling me, you gave him the word of his life. And I thought, you better have written that down. And like, because I mean, but my point is this, heaven is always at work. And you know what? Sometimes it might not even be your angel. Sometimes it can be Jesus. I remember that he walked down that road to Damascus with two disciples, and he's walking. And as he's walking, you know, he preaches the best sermon ever heard. And then, you know, he goes by and breaks the bread. And they're like, oh my goodness, it was Jesus. And the Bible says he appeared to them in another form. See, the kingdom of God is at hand, friends. And God is going to have a harvest of souls no matter what. And you know, some of my best friends in Asia, I've got a lot of contacts. My wife and I have been 10 times to Indonesia. And we're going again, not next week, but the week after we go to Singapore. And every time we go, it's amazing because you'll meet these apostles. I got a friend who preaches, he has a church of about 25,000 in Batam, Indonesia. And his testimony to how he got saved blows my mind because he was a Muslim Shiite priest. And you know what happened is Jesus appeared to him in his bedroom and said to him, I've come to show you the real love of God. Gave him a hug. He melted and fell on the floor, and he gave his life to Christ, and he automatically became a target. Now they wanted to kill him. And you know what the Lord said? Start your church. He started his church. He had about 500 because they were so many people were so moved that this Muslim priest would give his life to the Lord. And you know what ended up happening is that the guys that he used to run with got angry, put a bomb underneath the first row and tried to kill him in the middle of the service. And when they pushed the button and the chairs blew up, the angels of heaven came in and totally caused there to be no damage. In fact, all it did was blow a wall out, and one guy had a hole in his jeans this big. And as a result, within 6 months, the church went from 500 to 10,000. Whew. See, Psalm 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. See, we don't have to be afraid of the enemy, man. We don't have to be afraid of the devil because God's got our backs, right? And see, one of the things he wants to do is he wants to eliminate fear in the body of Christ, because if you were to see in the spirit just one time the angels that are assigned to your life to protect you, you wouldn't be afraid of the devil no more. You'd start to realize, oh man, what am I thinking? I mean, if your eyes open, because what happens is sometimes the church has these little bitty, itty bitty demons, and that's really what they are. See, the problem for the church sometimes, they got a great big devil and an itty bitty God, but God wants to shift that. Amen. And he wants us to understand what we focus on, we empower. And if you focus on the glory of God and on the person of God and the Holy Spirit and the Father, I'm telling you, the devil will become about this big. And you know what will happen? That devil will come, and I mean, you can see it all the time. People are so scared of the devil. And their angels probably behind them like, oh, God, please just let them get some faith. You know, like, and then all of a sudden they get a revelation. They come to a Papa Bill Hart meeting and get some revelation who they are. And before you know it, they're like, what, devil? And they're like, I rebuke you. And the angel looks at him and goes, yes. And all of a sudden the angel, the little guy's, nah. And the angel goes, shh. And that thing goes, meow. Nobody ever sees him again. Ah, Jesus. Come on, I'm glad we're having fun. Some of you, you're going to get this and it's going to wreck your life. Because here's the thing, God wants to partner with you to show you his glory. He wants to partner with you to see mighty things in the earth. And some of it comes with the angelic realm. And some of it comes with just following the lead of the Holy Spirit. But knowing that wherever he sends you, you stir stuff up there. You stir stuff up there. See, God wants you to, he wants you to be an atmosphere changer to the point where you change every atmosphere that you go into. And I mean, we've seen some good ones. I remember one time eating at Olive Garden. How many know Olive Garden's pretty good, right? Well, I mean, I remember going to Olive Garden. I'm there and there's this guy and he is like doing magic and he's got this ball in his hand. He goes, quack, 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 and then he goes like this. And I don't know how it works, but he could transport a ball out of his hand into someone else's hand, like way off on the other side of the restaurant. And they'd go, ah, scream, and everybody would like cheer. And you know, this guy was like entertaining everybody. And then when I walked in there, the Lord told me, that's witchcraft. And when the Lord tells you something like that, you're like, oh, okay, thanks, Lord. And then he was like, no, that's witchcraft. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you want me to do about it? He said, speak in tongues. I went, okay. And he told me, he said, I've called you to change atmospheres. He said, don't let that stuff operate in your midst. And I went, okay, and I don't even know what to do. So I just started going, shaka-ba-da-ba-ka-ba-da-ba-ka, like that. And you know what happened? The guy goes, and he opened his hand. The ball bounced off his hand, hit himself in the forehead, and rolled on the ground. And instantly he looked at me and went, argh. He even knew where the power came from. See, God wants to change atmospheres. Woo! Ha, 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 ha. And then my wife got inspired. There's this guy that does card tricks and all this weird stuff on our street in Pasadena. And my wife was like, you know what? I'm going to try what you're trying. We're walking by. It's like Friday night. He's got a whole crowd. And she gets right next to him and goes, shaka-ba-da-ba. And he literally goes, and he starts like dropping the cards. And he's like, and then she's like, we keep walking. She goes, oh my gosh, it worked. It was so cool. Did you see that? I was like, babe, you almost killed him. I mean, we got authority, right? Whoo, Jesus. And I'll tell you, I was starting to tell you about this, but earlier this year, I had an encounter where the Lord began to show me some things that I believe he really wants to do. And you know, I had this visitation. I was in my living room, and I was praying, and all of a sudden, the atmosphere of the room changed, and then this angel appeared in front of me, and he was the strangest-looking angel because he was about 8 foot tall, and he had a glory cloud, like a blue glory cloud swirling around his head. I couldn't even see his face. And I noticed that he had a name tag on his chest. You know, like if you go to a company picnic or like a conference or something, you can get those name tags that say, hello, my name is, and then you write your name. He had one of those on, and his name was, it said, hello, my name is Promise. That's what he said. And he had this circulating glory around his head. And I was like, you know, I was pretty blown away by it. I was like, what is this all about? And the Lord spoke to me, and this is what he said. He said, Jeremy, now is a season where I want to pull back the veil of the glory, and I want to begin to release the promises of God to my people, but especially the promise of outpouring in the Spirit. And he told me, he said, look at the last words of Jesus to the church. And you know what Jesus said? He said this, the last words to the church. How many know that's probably pretty important, right? The very last words that he said, this is what the last words were before he was taken up into the glory. He said this to the people, to the apostles. He said, wait until you're endued with power from on high until the promise of the Father comes upon you. And I believe we're in a season where the promise of the Father is being released, and God is going to release angelic assistance to begin to bring the promises of the Father to come to pass. And so I want to just say this, who's got some promises today? Who's got some promises in their life and in their ministry, their workplace, or their church or whatever? God wants to begin to bring an acceleration of promises coming to pass, and he wants to release his glory, and he wants to show you his goodness, and he wants to break the resistance of the enemy so that there is a release of glory that is tangibly seen, that the world would know that he's good. Woo! Jesus. Ha, 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 ha. Angels are stirring up right now as I'm talking. They are. And you know what? God, wow, I'm seeing angels of fire in the room right now. You want to know what that means? Every time I see those things, I mean, here's the thing. We need to go beyond like, you know, oh, there's an angel in the room. We need to understand what it means. I mean, we all the time have what I call buzzwords. I mean, you know, someone will be like, fire! And everybody's like, whoa! But it's like, what does it mean? You know? What would happen if we started to understand what God was releasing rather than just celebrating it? Because, I mean, we need to celebrate and we need to receive it. I mean, I love it. Lord, spark me. I'm right here, you know? But what I'm saying is this, is that, that what would happen if we begin to understand these things? Then it could make it applicable, right? Then we could actually walk it out in the natural world. Anytime I see angels of fire, I always see them, and I know that it has to do with Malachi chapter 3. You know, Malachi chapter 3 talks about the fire of God being like a launder soap, and it comes to cleanse or to purify or to prepare the sons of Levi for what? An encounter with the Lord. And when those fiery angels come, sometimes I see them with coals, and it's like Isaiah, where Isaiah had this encounter, you know, where he was taken to the throne room of God. And when he was in the throne, you know, you want to know what the first thing that happened to him was? He became aware of his humanity. He began to be aware of how not worthy he was to be in the presence of God. Did you know God wants to burn that up today? Because there's some people that feel like, yeah, that's for the special people, but, you know, I'm just not worthy. Listen, the blood of Jesus is enough. Listen, God has paid the ultimate price so that you have access to his kingdom and you have access to his glory. And you don't have to live in this place where you're like, you know, oh, I'm just chopped liver and everybody else is the, you know, the stuff, man. And God wants you all to have access to his presence. Amen. He wants you all to have access to his glory. He wants you all to come into the very place of his throne. And one of the ways that he prepares you to come into that place is the fire of God. It's the fire of God. You know, I preach a lot on the fire of God. I was preaching on it on Friday night, but one of the things the Lord showed me is that God is fire. And if God is fire, then how many know we should approach him differently? Right? I mean, I want you to hear my heart, please. He wants us to have friendship with him, and we should have friendship with him, and we should be with him and hang with him. But you want to know why more people aren't having throne room encounters or more people aren't having face-to-face visitations with God? Is because they don't understand the principles of the kingdom, and they don't understand who God really is and what his word says about him. And there are different forms when it comes to God, but my Bible says that our God is a holy and jealous God. He is a God of fire. My Bible says in you know, Psalm 84:11, it says, the Lord our God is a sun and a shield. That word sun is not like child, it's S-U-N, like fireball in the sky. When John saw him face to face in the book of Revelation, he was filled with fire to the point where he had eyes like fire and his appearance was white like lightning and he was glistening as the sun. And I want to just say this, if God is who he says he is, how many know the prophets of old saw him, right? How many know that Daniel saw him? What did he look like? A fire from the waist up. How many know Ezekiel saw him coming on the clouds and at the river Chebar when he had an open vision and he saw the glory of the Lord coming? He saw him as what? An amber fire in the cloud. So if God is who he says he is, how many know that we got to approach him a little differently? We can't just roll up on him and be like, what's up, Lord? You know. And we can't just be like 1 foot in the church, 1 foot in whatever we want. If we do that, what would happen to you? I mean, here's the reason why more people aren't having these encounters, these throne room encounters, is because if you were to go and jump on the lap of a God who's on fire, but you weren't on fire, what would happen to you? But how many know God loves you too much to kill you? But he loves you too much to allow you to stay the same as well. And he loves you too much to keep you in the dark. Did you know the devil wants you to be in the dark and to never discover these secrets and keys so that you can come into the presence? See, here's what God did. God released the Holy Ghost and fire. And if we will embrace the Holy Ghost and fire, then we get caught on fire. Then all of a sudden we can come right into the throne. We can jump right on his lap and we can all we want because fire begots fire. Right? Come on, somebody on fire this morning? He wants to light you up. And when these angels of fire come, I see them, they'll touch people with these coals or they'll release fire on them. And it's just like Isaiah. Isaiah goes from insecure and feeling like he has no worthiness to be into the presence of God to all of a sudden everything that hindered him is like, it's gone. And then the Lord says, who will go for me? And he just jumps up and he's like, I will go for you. Here I am, Lord, send me. See, God wants to send you. He wants to anoint you. He wants to blast you. He wants to just wreck you and send you out to the world and show them his glory. Woo. And when these angels come, they come to remove, they come to set on fire, they come to deliver, they come to heal, they come to anoint. And when that fiery anointing comes, whoo, I mean, I've literally seen where the fire of God touches someone and whatever, you know, I saw in the spirit, I won't go into details, that was on them, it was burnt right off and they were free for the rest of their life from it. Oh, Jesus. Whew. How about, woo, wow. How about joy? Who wants some joy? Come on, there's some joy. You know, I see joy angels come into the room all the time. You want to know what the joy angels do? They just mess people up. You ever seen people when they're like, you know, you want to know what's really happening? A joy angel got a hold of them and is like, you know. And some people are like, joy angels, where's that at in the Bible? The Bible says when one comes to salvation, it says all of the heaven, the angels of heaven rejoice. Woo, they're joyful. Did you know your papa in heaven is joyful? I mean, I'm telling you, you know, he's not up there going, oh no, what are we going to do? You know, he's up there. Psalm 2 says he sits in the heavens and he laughs at his enemies. Woo, Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. You know what he does? He gets laughing and laughing. The angels start laughing. And I think he just stirs them up and goes, now release it. And they go down there and pow. Woo. Ha, ha, ha. Jesus. Whew. You know, I've had crazy encounters with the Lord, and I'm sharing these. Please hear my heart. I don't want to share these encounters because I want you to think that I'm more spiritual than you, or that I'm, you know, my heart is this, is that when we share testimonies, it's impartation. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when we begin to speak about it, it just opens things up. And you know, years ago, I remember my wife and I, we were in Vancouver. And my wife is a Holy Ghost, like revivalist, prays for everybody everywhere we go. And, you know, a lot of times I just put my hands on top of her hand while she prays so then I could get the testimony too. You know what I'm saying? And so anyway, we're in the car, we're driving one day, and this is one of the craziest encounters I've ever had, but we're driving down the street, and I saw this guy on the left side, and he was crutching himself across the street, he was injured, and I thought to myself, if I don't distract her now, we'll be late to lunch. And so I was like, hey, look, honey, over there, and she's like, I already saw him pull the car over. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, real spiritual, Jeremy, wanting to go eat hot wings, you know, instead of pray for this guy. So we pull off, and you know, we're over there now. I want to just say this. Have you ever noticed that when you try to share your faith with people that sometimes you can kind of be a little creepy? Yeah. Did you know the only time you're allowed to be a stalker is if you're evangelizing? I mean, come on. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. You go to the mall, you're like, I'm going to pray for that person. And then you're like, God, do you think I should pray for that person? And you're like, follow them around. And then they look, you're like, pick up the first thing, you know, and they're like, wow, they're really like that toilet paper in that aisle, you know. And then you're walking around, and then you follow him a little more, and then you're like, okay, this is just too weird. So God, if I run into him again, Lord, then I'll pray for them. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. So this is about where we're at. Guy's dragging his leg across the street, and we're kind of behind these bushes, and we're like waiting, you know, like, okay. When he gets up here, we're going to jump out. And I mean, I'm telling you, that's weird. In the coffee shop across the street's like, dude, that guy's about to get jumped, you know. And so anyway, he gets coming, and we bounce out. We're like, hey, how are you? You know, and the guy's like almost falls over. And we're like, hey, we're Christians. We believe in Jesus. Can we heal you? You know, and can we pray for you? And the guy was like shocked. And he's like, okay. He's like, sure, pray for me then. And, you know, I'm a Christian too. And so we just said, well, what's wrong with you? And he said, well, my hip, man, it's just messed up. And so I said, okay, cool. We didn't even ask what happened. We put our hands on his hip. We prayed our best prayer of faith. I mean, we prayed real good. And when we took our hands off, I said, hey, man, try to do something you couldn't do before. He lifts his shirt up. There is no hip. It's a hole. I mean, my faith was gone. I was like, lunchtime. And then the guy looks at me and Miranda, and he goes, no, thank you so much for praying for me. He said, my great-great-grandfather was the first man of God to plant a church, in a Pentecostal church in Canada. And so I'm thinking, wait a minute, what you say? You know, my first man of God to plant a church in Canada, Pentecostal church, and then you know what? We should have you pray for us. That's what I'm thinking, because I'm always wanting impartation. And you know what? As I thought that, and as I said that in my mind, the guy goes, hey, do you think that I could pray for you? And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah. He said, I'll pray for an impartation. I thought, this dude is good, you know. And so he lays hands on us, and he starts praying. Now, you got to understand, before this encounter, I had it all worked out in my mind. You know, well, food. But then when that got rerouted, I had it worked out. Okay, we're going to pull over. We're going to pray for the guy. He's going to get totally healed. He's going to be crying and weeping. We'll get him saved. We'll get in the car, and we'll be off to hot wings in like 5 minutes, you know. And so the guy starts praying for us, and he's going for it. And then he starts, like, prophesying secrets of our hearts that only me and Miranda know. And I mean, like, I was messed up. And he prayed for the fire of God, and it overwhelmed me. I'm on the street corner screaming, and I'm the one crying, like, ooh, you know. And then, you know, I give him a huge hug. I'm like, you're amazing, man. And we get back in the car. And when we get back in the car, we turn around, like, a little circle. And it must have been 30 seconds. And when we turn around, he's completely gone. Like, can't find him. Nowhere. Looking up and down the street. Like, I mean, and when the supernatural happens, this does not work. And I'm looking for him. I'm like, where did this guy go? And then the Lord says to me, Hebrews 13:2. Go ahead and put it up on the board. And you know what? It just messed me up because he told me, he said, Jeremy, you got to tell people that they need to begin to just love people, because without knowing it, some people are entertaining angels. And he told me, he said, Jeremy, he said, listen, I'm about to do something on the earth that hasn't been done before, and there's going to be more angelic activity than ever before in the history of the church, because it's going to take all of heaven to pull off what I'm about to release. And he said, I want the church to begin to know more about me and more about my kingdom, especially with the angelic realm, so they can co-labor with me to see the glory of God. And the Lord began to show me. Hebrews says this. It says, aren't God's angels ministering spirits of fire sent to assist those who are to inherit salvation? Woo! Huh. See, God wants you to understand something. He hasn't called you just to sit in these seats. And he's called you for action. Woo! Ha, 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 ha.
Let's go!
Whoa. Here, just... Seriously, I just saw one of those angels of fire right over there. You know what else attracts them? Hunger. Ha. Lord, we just release right now fire on these guys. It's already on them, but there's more right there. Whew. Now, here's the last thing I'm going to say, and then we're going to pray. But when I saw that portal the other night, and I saw the angels coming up and coming down, it reminded me of a dream that I had 2 years ago. And in this dream, I saw this massive door in the spirit, and over the top of the door was written the word breakthrough. And in this experience, I was there, and I saw this door, and I was so excited, and Jesus appeared on my right side, and he grabbed me by the hand, and he took me up to the door. He said, now's the time for breakthrough. Who needs some breakthrough? Right? And so I go up to the door, and he goes like this, and he pulls these keys out from behind him, and they're about, like, a big, you know, key like this with like four or five others, and he hands them to me, and he says, unlock this door. This is the time. So I put the key in, and I unlock the door, and when I unlock the door, I hear the deadlock unlock and unlatch, and then all of a sudden, I start pulling on the door, but I can't get the thing open. I mean, I'm pulling and pulling. Woo, Jesus. I'm pulling and pulling on this door, and it won't open, and I'm like so frustrated. And then Jesus says, why don't you take 3 steps back and watch what I do? And so I was like, oh, okay. So I took 3 steps back, and he just goes like that. And this wind hits the backside of the door, and it blows it right open, almost off the hinges. And from behind the backside of the door, an angel appears through the winds. And I knew that it was an angel of awakening. And this angel is standing in front of me, and I'm looking at the angel, and I'm thinking like, whoa, this is amazing. And when I'm looking at the angel, I look into the angel's eyes, and I go into a vision, another vision, where I see the arm of the Father in heaven. He just goes like this, and when he does, hundreds of thousands of these awakening angels are released simultaneously into the earth, and they're being assigned to individuals. And when they're being assigned to individuals, I see revival break out. People that are dead get raised. People that are in addictions, the chains break off. People that need miracles get healed. I saw limbs growing out. I saw people with no feet, no legs just shoot right out when believers would pray for these people, and these angels of awakening were moving in their midst. And all of a sudden, I come out of the encounter, and the Lord speaks to me, and this is what he says. He says, Jeremy, now is the time that I'm going to do for my people what they cannot do for themselves. He said, I'm about to release breakthrough into the earth. And when I do, the angels of awakening are going to come, and they're going to do the bidding of the Father, and they're going to awaken a generation to love. And he said to me, it's Zechariah chapter 4. And when I went to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1, it says this. It says that Zechariah was having this encounter. It says that he was awakened, and as a man was awakened out of his slumber. To what? An angelic visitation. And here's what's going to happen. God's going to release more Holy Ghost and more glory than ever before. And these angels are going to usher revelation into the church and into the world that God is good and God is love. And they're going to enable us to flow in another level of the Spirit that's going to reveal the love of God to the world around us. Did you know that miracles, signs, and wonders and prophecy are given to reveal love to the people? They're given as vehicles to release love on the earth. And here's what he told me. He said this. Look at what happened with Zechariah. It's a model for what's about to happen in your day. It says this in Zechariah 4:1, and then you go through the whole chapter. But it says that he was awakened as a man was awakened out of his slumber, and there's an angel. And what's the first thing he sees? The lampstand of God, the menorah. And when he sees the lampstand, what does he get a revelation of? He gets a revelation of the power of the Holy Ghost, or the fullness of the Holy Ghost, because that sevenfold anointing of God, that seven spirit anointing that goes before the throne of heaven, was standing in front of him. And what God began to do is he began to show him the condition of the church in his day. And you want to know what it looked like? It was destroyed. It was destroyed. And then he hears the voice of the Lord say, "Who are you, O Zerubbabel? Who are you, O mountain, before the presence of God?" And he sees the mountain of destruction in his day. How many know there's a lot of negative speaking people nowadays? "Oh, it's over for America. Oh, Obama this and this and that." Now, listen to me. It is not over at all. We are about to see one of the greatest moves of the Spirit. And when it gets dark is when the glory comes. Woo! See, but what God wants to do is he wants to awaken a greater revelation of the Holy Ghost and power. Remember I said what? That God wants to release these angels of promise that they're going to awaken what? Wait until you're endued with power from on high. Till the promise of the Father comes to you. What's the promise? Outpouring of the Spirit. When the forerunning anointing comes upon a generation. How many know the Bible says the Spirit and power of Elijah? Whoo! Ha ha ha. It's going to awaken the hearts of the children to the fathers, and the hearts of the fathers to the children. See, all this stuff is culminating to a release of glory. But here's what happens is that as Zechariah has this revelation that comes by angelic visitation, by this angel of awakening, he sees the lampstand of God. He sees the problems of his day. But then he hears the answer, because this is what the Spirit says in Zechariah 4:6. It says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says God." Whew, Jesus. So I want you to understand something. The answer to what we need in this nation is not, it's not going to come naturally. It's going to come by His Spirit. It's going to come by the glory of God. It's going to come by heaven invading earth and the angels of God on assignment, co-laboring with the people of God on the earth. See, the angels do what God says. And how do they know what God says? Because God speaks to you. Psalm 103 says that the angels, whoo, thank you, Lord, says the angels of the Lord perform His word. They do His word. And when you begin to understand that, intimacy with God and obedience to His voice causes heaven to break in. And you know what happens is Zechariah, I'm almost done, we're going to pray. Zechariah is in this encounter. He sees the condition of the church. It's in a negative state. And all of a sudden he sees the answer is the Holy Ghost and the fullness of the glory. And then he hears the voice of the Lord say, "Who are you, O mountain?" And then all of a sudden the decree of the Lord is released. And he says, "Become a plain in the sight of God." And he sees the mountain leveled and he sees the Jerusalem. Woo! And then he hears a prophecy about Jesus. And it says, in one day, God will remove the iniquity of the land. And that his servant, the branch, will establish these things. How many of you know that Jesus, He's the branch, right? Oh, guess what you are? You're the fruit on His branch. You're the ones that, oh, Jesus. See, He wants to release glory in this place, but He wants you to understand something. He's about to level the mountains that are in front of you. What is it? What's the obstacle? What's the devil tried to throw at you? Is it finances? Is it health? Is it education? Is it some sort of a limitation with sickness or disease? What is it? What is it that the devil's been trying to lie to you about? Is it your perspective on the world right now? Listen to me. God is so good. Woo! He is so good and He is so able to transform and to change and to release things. And I believe this morning, one of the things the Lord told me when I was on the front row is He said this. He said, "Jeremy, there's watcher angels in the meeting." And He said, to those that connect their hearts to the message you're speaking, He said, they're going to go home with somebody they didn't come with today. Whew. You want to know what the watcher angels do? The watcher angels watch. That's pretty profound, Jeremy. But you know what? I've seen them over and over again. They come into the room and they have these pads of paper and these pens and they just watch. And I used to wonder, I go, God, what is that? Like, why do they do that? What is the deal with those? And you know what he told me? One day he told me, he said, Jeremy, he said, Psalm 103, right? It says 20. It says that they watch over the word of the Lord to perform it. But here's the thing. They watch hearts. And where they see hearts that are on fire, that are connecting with the word of the Lord, they mark their name down on the paper and it's taken to the Father, and the Father executes the word of the Lord over them. See, heaven is always watching. Malachi chapter 3, 16 through 19, it says this, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another and the Lord heard it. He heard their cry, and it says a book of remembrance was written on behalf of those who's were speaking forth these pleasing things to God. Who do you think wrote the book? The watchers. And you want to know what the result is? The Bible says this. It says that there's a distinction that's released because of these ones. If you see this, it'll wreck you forever. It says this. It says the Lord says about these people that value him and value his word. It says they shall be mine, says the Lord. And on that day, well, they will be my special treasure or my jewels. And it says, once again, you'll see a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not. Woo, Jesus. Come on, who wants a little distinction going on? I'm telling you, put that up there. Malachi 4, 16 through 19. I want people to see this because this is the word you're going to go home with today. And you're going to start to make decrees because God wants to release distinction in your life. Come on, in fact, just stand with me. I don't need to preach no more. God wants to release this thing. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, come on. Darren, so good to see you again, man. Woo! Come on. Me too. Come on, he's going to break resistance this morning. He's going to break the resistance of warfare. He's going to level the mountains. He's going to make them plain. I mean, I'm telling you, this is a season where God's removing stumbling blocks. Where he's removing everything that's crooked and he's making them straight. He's causing the hills and the valleys to be made low to what? Prepare a way for the glory of the Lord. You know, this year on New Year's Eve, I was in Florida. And I was ministering, and they said, we want you to bring the word of the Lord. And I prayed all day long, and I got no word of the Lord. And I got to the meeting. And around 7:10, I'm in the back room, and I'm thinking, man, what am I going to do? I don't have a word of the Lord. And I look at my watch. Now, this watch, if I don't wind it, it doesn't work, because it's a manual watch. But I look at my watch, and it says 11:46, and I'm like, okay, it's 7:10. That's not good. So I was like, I better look on the wall and see what time it is. I look at the wall. The wall clock is at 11:46. So I'm like, what the heck? 11:46, 11:46. So I tell the pastor, dude, look at this. 11:46, 11:46. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly. He said, Jeremy, the word of the Lord for 2015 is Matthew 11, 4 through 6. And that's this portion of scriptures. It's the place where John the Baptist's disciples come to Jesus and they say, hey, are you the one or do we look for another? Are you the Christ? And you know what Jesus tells them? You go tell John the things which you see and you hear. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who's not offended by me. Amen. Jesus. See, 2015 is going to be a year where God removes the stumbling blocks. He removes the offenses. He removes the warfare, the blockages, the things that are hindering people so that what? We can see the glory of God. So that we can see another dimension of Holy Ghost power. That's why this angels of awakening are being released, is to awaken love on the earth and to release a new extension of authority and glory and power. And it comes by friendship with God. Woo! So there's a big difference between somebody who's got a gift of the Spirit and somebody who moves in authority. And authority is entrusted to friends. And see, this morning, God wants to just touch you, and he wants to anoint you as friends, and he wants to bring breakthrough. He loves you so much. There's some of you that have been going through the hardest trials and difficult times in your life, and God wants to bring breakthrough by angelic assignment this morning. He's about to crush He's about to crush the warfare that's been coming against you, just like Daniel. And so I want you, here's the way it works. Just worship the Lord this morning. Just lift up His praise, lift up His name just for a few moments, and I'm going to make some declarations. We're going to make some proclamations of the kingdom, and I believe that heaven's going to break into this place, and I believe God's going to commission people into new seasons this morning. Amen?